Won't you go ahead and open up to 2 Corinthians 5 and to Romans 8. We'll be at 2 Corinthians 5 first. Hallelujah. I'll give you the words to underline so you can remember them when you come across them in Romans 8. Most infamous verses on intercession there is. 8:26, 27, 28. Hallelujah. All right, let's begin. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5. When he says, for we know, of course, that for us, it's the continuance of a thought that had already been revealed in the fourth chapter. He says, well, we look not at things which are seen in the 18th verse of the fourth chapter. We look to things which are not seen. We look not to things that are seen but are not seen, and that what it is temporal. And so he's covering one of those things, talking about your body. You're not looking to this one, you're looking to the one you're going to get. That's why he words it this way. For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now he's speaking that in respect to the fourth chapter when they turned themselves all the way over to death, how our Christ might rest upon their mortal bodies. They literally died the death of mortification before they ever left home. To be killed out on the field meant nothing to them. They died before they left. So he was speaking in respect. They did these things, knowing that this life is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory and eternity. And he's making reference for if this one is taken, this body's killed. We got one made without hands. But as you've noticed, meanwhile, you're left in this one. So understanding this verse here, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this one, while we're yet in this one, notice he says, we groan earnestly. If you're going to underline anything, underline that word. For in this one, we groan earnestly, or why I'm at home in this body on this planet. He said, I'm groaning earnestly. I'm desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That is a glorified body. If so, but being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed or just die, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. The second word I'd underline is wrought. He that wrought or saved us for these selfsame things is God, who also in conjunction to that also gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Now underline that whole statement. Also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And you understand the word earnest as in earnest money that's put down on a house represents your earnestness to finish the purchase of the house. Well, the earnest of heaven, of its sincerity to finish up in you, and finish in redemption and giving you your glorified body. And the promise to you that you'll overcome this flesh and this life and fulfill your call. He gave you the earnest of heaven, heaven's sincerity to provide you everything that you need to finish your course here before you go home. But when we go over to Romans 8 now and kick in, you're going to notice some of the same wording. But I can tell you one of the differences right now. When he said he's also gave us the earnest of the Spirit, just a simple statement like that. He gave us the Holy Spirit and all he represents as the sincerity of God to see us through, to finish our course, overcome the flesh, and to get a glorified body. He is the sincerity of heaven and the power to do that with. And you are his final purchased possession. You're it. When he said he gave us the earnest of the Spirit, that simple little statement is the same one that he made in Romans 8:26 when he said, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities, our weakness. We know not how we should pray as we ought, but he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That whole statement, all he said here about it was he gave us the earnest of the Spirit. In Romans 8:26, he's saying the same thing, only he's showing you the operation of the Holy Spirit in that and how that he does it. So one just makes the statement that he has given him to you. The other one explains how the Holy Spirit accomplishes this in your life. Now follow closely. Romans 8, kicking in. For the sake of teaching, the 22nd verse. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And the fact that the 23rd verse, he said, not only they, but ourselves also. And he put us that we're groaning, not only creation, but ourselves also. So he separated us from the rest of creation, was subjected to corruption and imperfection by the fall of Adam. He says, not only is our planet in travail and groaning for the day that we'll get a new heaven and a new earth, the curse will be removed, be no beer cans in the rivers. He said, creation groans for this. He says, but not only they, and separated us, and says, we groan also. Now remember what he says when we're us that are in this tabernacle do groan. We do groan. What's the similarity with this verse? And 23 says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now if there's a first fruit, there's definitely going to be a second fruit. But us who have been born again, who's received the new nature, the first fruits, and filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, or waiting for the adoption to be made complete at the redemption of our body. But in 2 Corinthians 5, he said that we do groan not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon, that mortality is swallowed up in immortality. But here, he says, we're groaning. Somehow in my new nature, because I have the first fruits, while I'm in this body, I am groaning to be clothed upon by my body, which is from above, of the adoption to be made complete at the redemption of my body. The day I bowed my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and was born again, adoption papers were served on me. That adoption will be made complete when, just like the first man Adam gave me my spirit, soul, and body, the last man Adam, Christ, has given me my spirit, transformed my soul. But soon I will have a body not given to me by the first man Adam, but by the last. I will change ownership from one family to the rest, and I will be born of the last man Adam, spirit, soul, and glorified body. Had you noticed I'm still in this one? And he said, in this one I do groan. Well, I never groaned. I said, I don't groan. He said, yeah, you do. No, I don't. Did you have the first fruits? Yes, I've been born again. I'm waiting for the second fruit. You don't say that's the first member of the choir unless the second's going to come. We got the first fruits, born again. What is the second? When you get your glorified body. I have the first one. And he said, I groan. just like the other. And we groan in this tabernacle, not to be unclothed, but clothed upon. Boy, when you find out he's saying the same thing, one chapter opens the other one up. Whew. Can't stand it hardly. I don't groan. Yes, you do.
I don't do. Don't feel like it.
You do. I said, when? All of a sudden, Jimmy Swaggart came on. It was Sunday after a service. I was watching. And he came on. It was in the plight in Africa when the starvation was rampant. A long time ago. 26 years. Jimmy Swaggart took a little child that they salvaged in the starvation camps. I'm thinking he's going to get money. He wants money. I said, but get me. Move me, Swaggy. See if he can move me. Pushed that little kid up and his mouth was cracked all up. It dried up from drought. Mother and father pushed him ahead on the road. Died inside of the camp. Gave him the last little bit of water. They found him. Found them. They fed him a little bit. He bloated. Little belly was sticking out there. He was dried and cracked and dried and cracked. And flies, everything came to eat him. He said, would you help me? My heart jumped up into my throat. I hurt. And he said, you don't groan. He said, this is what you're talking about? Waiting for the adoption to be made complete at the redemption of our body. Not to be unclothed, but for the mess to be over. Be clothed upon. No more starvation, no more plagues, no more murder, no more killing. For the whole mess to be finished. In a body. Let the thing go and it'll go crazy on you. Resow itself and get mean. No. He said, we groan not to be unclothed, but clothed upon. I said, this is what you mean. Yes. Then I do groan. This groaning that he's talking about here comes out of your new nature. We see in this next part, and it's that new nature that freed you from sin, but you got a body that's capable of sin, and you're in a world where you see things you can't even fathom. You don't groan. You'd like to see the suffering stop. You'd like to see it change. Notice this next word closely in the 24th verse. He said, we're saved by hope. That's funny. I thought we were saved by faith. Seems to me if you're hoping you're saved when he comes back, you waited too long. What did he say? We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Well, what is he saying? 23 and 24 together is saying us that have this new nature grown while we're waiting for the adoption process to be made complete at the redemption of our body. For we're saved in hope. Hope of what? He's not talking about the salvation that got us born again. We already have the first fruit, but we're saved in hope of that glorified body and the finish of redemption. See? That is the hope that he's talking about here. But he makes it very clear. We're saved in hope. Hope of what? That glorified body. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what is he yet hoping for? But if we hope for that we see not, for the redemption to be made complete with our glorified body, and when we can't cause it to come to pass, he says we do with patience have to wait for it. But notice who he left with you to wait with. In the 26th verse, likewise, while you're left in this body, the Spirit also helps your infirmities or the weaknesses imposed on you. By this flesh. Your inability to produce results because of the limitations imposed on you by this flesh. He said, we're saved by that new nature in hope of a glorified body. Meanwhile, while you're stuck in this one and patiently waiting for that to happen, guess who was sent to help your weaknesses? So he said, likewise, the Spirit. And notice he said, also helps our weaknesses. Now, in the fifth chapter, 2 Corinthians, when he said, he that wrought us, you underline it, for the self-same thing as God, and gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Here's how he said it here. He that saved us in hope, but hope that is seen, what do you yet hope for? He says, but if we see not what we're hoping for, we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. And in the fifth chapter, all he said, that we're wrought for the self, same thing. And he gave you the earnest of the Spirit. So one, he says, he gave you the Spirit. Here, he's telling you how he does it. One gives meaning to the other. He that wrought us for the self, same thing as God, who also gave us the earnest of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is my down payment from heaven of God's sincerity to give me everything I need to walk out of this flesh, fulfill His plan, and receive my glorified body. But here He's telling you how the Holy Spirit does it. Likewise, the Spirit, He also helps our weaknesses. If He's also helping them, what else did? First thing that sets you free is the new nature. If you didn't have the new nature, there's nothing the Holy Spirit could really do for you. Because once Jesus came and the rebirth was made available to us, He's the only way out of spiritual death. The Holy Ghost uses your new nature to set you free with. So when He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, also meaning something else already was. And that was that new nature that I grown out of, hating creation, being locked up in imperfection, and me being in a body that's capable of sin. Seeing the atrocious acts against children and suffering and starvation. It's hard to make a place in this world and have a right spirit. Finger another ring while somebody's starving to death across the border. Is He against the ring? No. No, what He's against. That everything you are doesn't belong to Him. And everything that you have. I come to peace with that. When? It was settled in my spirit. And everything I have is His. All He has to do is ask. And He knows everything I have. I give it to Him in a second. And I can sleep. He said, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses. The first thing that did is that new nature that hates it. Hates it. He says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We're looking at the weaknesses of our flesh, another failure, our inabilities to walk where He said we could, hating our flesh, hating not knowing what His will is, hating weakness and falling to things. He says, you don't know how to pray as you ought. He said, the Holy Spirit, He searches our heart. We don't know how to pray because He has access to our hearts. It qualifies Him to make intercession for us according to the will of God. With groanings, and He said He cannot be uttered. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the also that helps my groanings is His groanings But he said it's a kind of intercession. It's help from the Holy Spirit, and it can't be fabricated by you. The first groaning, you're hard-hearted, don't care. This is why he gave that simple language of edification. It steps out of your born-again new nature, comes into existence there. And that new nature begins to pray. Just like a man's having trouble with his flesh, and you tell him, well, start praying. Start praying. And sometimes it's things that we don't want to turn loose of. But yet now, you've got something that's going to start edifying that new nature till finally this Paul is going to say something else in your flesh. I want to be nice. This lapse says that you have to the flesh. You start praying in tongues. It'll start building that nature. It'll start getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And pretty soon, you'll start hating that thing that you're doing that you know is not right. You'll start hating it so bad that one day you'll build yourself up above it. And when you do, you'll look back on it with God's eyes. And you'll see how hideous it is. And you'll hate it. You'll hate it so much that you'll begin to groan and cry in that new nature, wanting to get free. I hate this. I hate this. And the Holy Spirit says, good. Because when you didn't care what was in your life, what did I have to work with? But now that I've built you up above it, you can see how bad it is. You can see it through my eyes. And you hate it like I do. Now you're giving me something to work with. And the Holy Spirit then, He adds His groanings to your groanings, which is separating faith to God because you want this thing out of your life. And the Holy Spirit comes and He picks up on your groanings and adds His. And when He does, He brings the power of God into it. And whatever it was, He moves it out and it's over. He'll do this in spirit, soul, and body. Habitual things that you did. Got born again. Deep-seated habitual things in your flesh. You know, habit, habitual things. He'll build you up above it and put them to death and you'll walk away. He'll move on to the soul. Ambulations and strifes and hatreds. Not just drinking, smoking, chewing, and going with the girls that do. We're talking about hatreds and emulations and strifes. A lot of people don't get too far. They don't get too far. Holy Ghost has very little power in their life through their new nature. Because you can never fix that screen, that filter. Can't get it fixed. But you won't pray very long in the Holy Ghost. You won't even bruise a smoking flax. People are hideous. Mean to you. You'll build yourself up above that mess to one, but you get to look through God's eyes and see it for what it is. You even try to go back to people you hurt when you was a sinner. There'll be a lot of bawling in those days. A lot of bawling. Can't stand the fact that you destroyed somebody, hurt somebody. You'll see it through His eyes and come to terms with it. And the Holy Spirit will pick up on it. He'll add His groanings. When He said with groanings which can't be uttered, it's that you see it and you want it out of your life more than anything. You bawl and cry and your heart jumps up in your throat. It's cry and hurt. It's something you can't fabricate. He adds His groanings to it. He'll move it out of your path. In those days, you'll begin to enjoy answered prayer on unprecedented levels. He'll move on to spirit. Filthiness of spirit.
What is that?
filthiness of spirit. He said, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. He's talking to a born-again man.
Well, how could my spirit be filthy if it's born again?
Filthiness of spirit is wrong doctrine, believing wrong things about God. He'll fix that. When that praying in tongues, it'll track down every limb that you believe incorrectly. Everything you believe wrong about Him. He that prays in the unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. How be it? What is transpiring in the Spirit? In the Spirit He speaks mysteries. What mysteries? Boy, I wanted to know. What mysteries? It's the same mysteries that Paul said, I've been made a minister of the manifold mysteries and wisdom of God. He's made a ministry, I had to understand them. I mean, these same mysteries he's talking about, he says, when I pray in tongues, I'm speaking mysteries. Who am I speaking them to? God. God.
Well, whose benefit are they for?
You think you're going to sneak up on God's blind side and whisper some deep, dark mystery in his ear? He didn't know a couple of millennials for you graced this planet. Mysteries are not for his benefit, they're for yours. You're invoking the understanding of everything Christ is in you, the mystery of the hope of glory. Every time he tracks down the old limb that you hate, wait till you track down this limb. I grew to hate children in wheelchairs. Not them. The fact that they stayed in them. I kept praying in tongues because he tracked down every doctrine that was between me and victory. I'd come to those children in my wrong believing. The ones that excuse things. Sometimes just for sanity. Look at that child. God, I'll go to pieces. I'll hurt inside so bad I can't stand it. God says, good. Because when you were content, boy, to leave them in there, I appreciate your programs to buy vans with lifts in them. But I have more. He says, when you didn't care, what did I have to work with? One day, those groanings will come. They'll add themselves to yours. You're hating it as bad as God does. When He does, whatever's keeping them from getting out, He'll move it out of your life. The two kids, Bakersfield, the 9-year-old, 7-year-old, hadn't been out of pain in 5 years. Pine was growing in a circle. Her mama ran and got her in the middle of a fellowship of prayer people in the city. I told them what he had done in Hawaii. The mother just left and went and got her. Got her out of bed. When they came back the next day, she had grown an inch during the night. She said a hot hand put on her back all night and all the pain's gone. She's growing like a weed that's went off all pain medicine and can now run up the hill to her grandpa's house to love on him. The other one, she's 17, tossed from foster home to foster home, born totally deaf. until she fell down on the floor. First time she heard sound, she didn't know what to do. Some of the mothers got her up. Can you hear, sweetie? She didn't know what to do. I whispered in her ear. She heard. 17 years. Till a foster mother got her. And knows God. You start hating it. It'll start showing up hating where you're at, knowing God has it, and bawling and crying and groaning. One day comes, adds his groanings with yours, moves it out. So the next verse said, 27, he that searches the heart knoweth what is God's plan. It empowers him to make intercession for you according to the will of God. And in this walk out of your flesh, out of hatreds and unforgiveness, and into his plan for you, he sent you to earnest to destroy everything that is in the path that's claiming it's greater than God, bigger than you are, or cannot be done. Now, a lot of stuff that's come in, you know. My pilot, we went to a meeting, you had to drive out in the brush where they run an extension cord 20 miles, you know, to play the equipment. And they looked like Amy's daughters. They all had white dresses and white hoses. Stockings. They call them hoses anymore? Okay, Grandma called them hoses. Guess when they were first created, they looked like a garden hose or something. I don't know. Anyway, they had white ones and white dresses, and they all had their hair put up about the same. They called them Amy's daughters. Anyway, I went out to minister. My pilot had just come off drugs, clean maybe 6 months. Good pilot, mechanic. And he flew me around for several years. But he never seen anything, you know, he's just born again. We're out there with Amy's daughters. We feared for our life a little because it's a long ways to civilization. Anyway, I was just closing, and all of a sudden, one of Amy's daughters starts flopping around the front like a chicken, just flopping all over, and the rest of them knew what to do. For there was four of them that had a sheet. And they ran over with the sheet and put it over her and stood on the corners while she flopped. You could see it flopping all over under. Looked like a cat in a gunny sack. I mean, that sheet was really flopping around. Dan, he comes from the back like this. He wouldn't get where he could lose sight. He walks up to the side of the platform and he comes up to me and he says, "What's going on?" I says, "Oh, I'll explain later. Just watch." She's flopping all over, and pretty soon she settled down for a minute. So the other Amy's daughters rolled her up in it like the old timers rolled cigarettes. Rolled her up in it. And then rolled her up against the platform so she'd be pinned. So she's laying there like a mummy. Dan's looking down at her, says, "What part of church is this?" I said, "Hang on." She's laying there. So she lays there and they're all fellowshipping, and Dan's fellowshipping a little. And I'm standing there and her daughter comes up. She's going, "Oh, oh," just groaning, you know, "Oh, oh, oh." And her daughter goes, "Mama." She goes, "Mama, mama." She says, "Shut up, can't you see it? I'm praying." This is not something you can do, but you can give yourself to it. The genuine groaning comes when you give the Holy Spirit what He needs to help your weaknesses. Start with the simple gift, edification, if you're stuck. He that saved us for the haratus, for the selfsame thing, also gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Has that happened to you recently? Yes. Yes. Everything's getting more. More and more. How many believe that when He gave me instructions to come home, that we're closer than we think? And this city is ours. Stand up. Lift your hands. Whew. Now, private worship has its own rewards. It'll deal with flesh. But talking about God's presence wherever you go, it'll affect that more than any other thing. So lift those hands. Go on and just tell Him how much you love Him for a moment and appreciate Him. Just let those things unfold. Spend your time praying in tongues. Spend your time worshiping Him. And come on. There's a lot of grace that steps in these places. People that go on before you and get a hold of them can come back and say, "Hey, hey, His grace will do this for you." Just because it's resident. And you sow, overtake the reaper. You can run out ahead. Hallelujah. I like it when somebody lays hands on me and I get an anointing I never had before. But if they don't, I know how to go there anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.